Thrill of the Hunt, written by Melime and read by Wilfriede0815. Fandom, This Is How You Lose the Time War. Relationship, blue/red. Rating, explicit. No archive warnings apply. Additional tags, consensual but not safe or sane, blood play, shapeshifting, established relationship, post-canon. Summary, Red runs, Blue catches her. She runs, shapeless indigo catching at the corner of her eye, there a moment and gone the next, following in relentless pursuit. Her armor is a beacon in the gloom clearing, sharp red against the yellowed grass, but she's not being hunted by sight, rather by the disturbance that her presence in the strand causes. She runs without looking back, cortisol and adrenaline flooding her body to keep the strength in what of her is flesh, but they can't reach her mind. They don't need to. She can provide the urgency all by herself, as she knows the one who hunts her knows how capable she is. The trotting of many legs grow more urgent behind her, faster than she can keep up with only two, but she doesn't turn to look. If she turns, it's the end. The strike comes suddenly, a mighty paw across the back of her leg, claws breaking artificial skin, and she turns as she falls, pushing out the blades under the skin of her arm so she can give a few strikes of her own. Her armor isn't enough to cover her as the paws hit her side, ripping apart the plates and scratching the skin underneath, leaving her bloody and exposed. As she lands a direct hit to a leg pressing down on her chest, the shape above her changes, paws retracting as swift arms hold hers down, strength sacrificed for dexterity, but each finger still ending in a sharp claw, piercing the skin of her wrists until they reach the metal underneath. Fangs press on the curve of her neck, holding her in place with the reminder that a sudden movement might hold the strength to break her neck. And this, finally, earns her submission. She holds her breath to keep the fangs from hitting deeper, and stops trying to free her arms. She's caught. The laugh comes out almost as a roar, reverberating through her by the firm grasp on her throat, before the fangs too retract, releasing her to breathe even as she's still pinned in place. My little Acanthus, darting through the plains, you were so close to escaping from between my claws. Blue says, her mouth now returned to humanoids, but her teeth still sharp. Red breathes heavily, through instinct rather than necessity, and she almost forgets that Blue is no longer her enemy. She's still a danger, she'll always be, only of a very different kind. The danger of making her lose herself, of turning purpose in the contact, the union making of each more than they had been alone. She is a hunter and the hunted, and for now she's caught. Rip me to pieces, I'll claim you with my blood, Red says, in a sudden move pulling an arm free so she can grab Blue's hair near the scalp, letting the blood flow through her hand down the fine strands, just as the drops of oxidized crimson tinge her face, remnants of the attack. She gives of herself openly and freely, as she's only allowed to now, a privilege that they fought and died to conquer, a life of her own to do as she pleases, to give away to whom she desires. Blue kisses her, hungry and possessive, teeth scratching her mouth and making red taste of her own blood, calling to something ancient and natural that she didn't know was still preserved through generations of minds grown in a hive. There was no strategy, no elaborate plans, no delicate tending of strands to reverberate into consequences centuries or millennia downthread. This was simply run and pursuit, behaviors ingrained since before there was a war, any war, and a part of her can still remember. The blood loss makes her head spin, but she doesn't care about it. There's no wound that can't be healed once she bothers with it. Skin can be made to regenerate or be replaced. Even the bent and scratched metal underneath can be easily repaired. But she tastes her own blood from the mouth of her greatest adversary, the only one who could ever truly match her, and she feels mortality. The greatest expression of individuality, a self that can be killed and made to no longer exist. Blue pierces the back of her neck, claws shifting into threads to make contact with her spine, invading her nervous system and hijacking the sensations. It's delicate, precise work, nothing like the feral hunt that brought her down, but just as welcome. Each bite and each cut brings an explosion of pleasure, only barely kept at bay by the sprouting that carefully controls which signals are allowed to cross into her brain. Red loses herself in her body, connected to it in a way only possible in the heights of the intersection between pain and pleasure, thrusting her hips upwards almost by instinct, seeking a pressure that's granted by the weight of a thigh, but does nothing to offer her the release that she needs. She's crying, and the tears must wipe some of the blood staining her face, but as she feels them rolling down, she can't tell which streaks are blood and which are tears. She begs, she's sure of it, but she can't make sense of her own words, and doubts that Blue can either. There is no sense to be found in words, only sensation until no words can be formed at all, no thoughts, nothing of herself beyond what exists right now, in feelings and impressions. The violaceous explosion forms in her brain and descends through her body like lightning, shared between them through the connection. She's shaking still as it passes, aware of herself as only Blue can make her, and only when she stops, Blue retreats her fingers, allowing her nervous system to close itself again. Blue pushes a strand of her hair attached by blood to her face and looks at Red with the most undiluted adoration, which makes Red wonder if the same love is reflected in her own expression. But she's too tired to interpret what her own muscles might be doing. "You did so well, my crimson tulip," Blue says, as she slowly wipes away the blood from her face. Red simply can't concentrate to do much to help her. So she directs her internal repairs and lets her mind drift off under the gentle care of the one who was once her enemy, and always the only one to earn her absolute trust. The End.